I'd like to invite you this morning to open your Bibles to Mark, the fourth chapter. I want to begin reading with verse 35 and down through verse 41. Mark 4 and verse 35, reading from the New King James Version. On the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat on the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, "Who can this be, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" I suppose most of us at some time or another have thought about our passage through this world as a voyage over the sea. For most of us, our knowledge is not firsthand when it comes to the trials and adversities and storms and hazards of sailing. And, of course, these verses provide us with some information for our consideration in this regard. Notice, if you will, with me, the Lord said to his disciples, "Let us cross over to the other side." A select and chosen few were invited to accompany him. They did not understand yet what a great privilege this was. But indeed, they were about to understand something about him. And thinking about this from our perspective, has his invitation to you to enter the boat with him for this voyage, has it come to you? Think about it. You enter this boat with Jesus. Has this invitation come to you? And have you responded with joy and eagerness? How wonderful this is, indeed, to have the Lord of life and glory with you, journeying all the way to the other side. What a thought. Having begun this voyage with him, years may have passed, more for some than others. But are we daily mindful and thankful of the great blessings that his divine presence affords us? Think about the security, the safety. No storm can sink this ship, no matter how violent it is. And the certainty of a safe arrival on the other side. In 2 Peter, I left it off, I'm sorry. But I'll give it to you right now. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 11. "For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." There's the assurance we have right there. We have assurance and confidence that we will indeed reach the other side. But notice, they took him along in the boat as he was. Now let's look back at Mark 4:36 and see what this text says. "Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And other boats were also with him." This indicates that they took him according to his previous preparation to accompany him. He was going to the other side, and they took him just as he was. He would have not made this a last-minute choice, but a decision that had been made and was well laid. But what about us? What about us? We want to be invited on the boat. We want to be invited on the boat. But what does he have in store for us? Well, we turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. How did I get that in there? There it is. 1 Timothy chapter 2. And we find out. He desires all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Whenever he invites us on this boat, what's his intent? To get to the other side. Have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Also, in 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, the same idea is stated. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish. You remember on the boat, whenever the disciples were afraid? He says, what are you afraid for? What are you afraid for? You are not going to perish. It's not going to happen. And with regard to the boat that we get on, he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Get on the boat. Let's go. What a comfort we know that we can depend on his presence. Our Lord and Savior, the one to whom we can turn for guidance and depend upon for protection. His presence is personally assured to us in John 14:23. Jesus said, and his answer was to them, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. Now listen to this. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Did you hear that? Jesus said this, and it's true. In Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, Jesus said, go make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Now listen to this last part. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Jesus promised to be with us. If we get on the boat, we know he's going to be there. There's no doubt about it. No doubt whatsoever. Looking at Ephesians 3 and verse 17, notice that Paul talks about the fact that Christ may dwell in your hearts. How? Through faith. Christ may dwell in your hearts. There's the connection right there. You remember what Jesus said on the boat? What's wrong with your faith? That's what he said to him. Now we learn he dwells in our heart through faith. And indeed, we can be assured of it. But just as it was with Jesus and his apostles on the sea, we can be sure that the sea of life brings storms, and there are going to be some of them pretty tough. Pretty tough. Even, you know, sometimes the most unexpected storms happen. I hear stories about ships at sea, and even with all of the sophisticated weather forecasting apparatus they have, suddenly they get caught in a storm, unexpectedly. And we're going to be in that same position as we travel in this boat with the Lord. You know, whenever we first believe in Christ, we were totally trusting in His Word, and we obeyed the gospel. And consequently, in obeying the gospel, we experienced the joy of forgiveness and peace with God. Is that one of our cars? Okay. We enjoyed the forgiveness and peace. I'm pretty sure that most of us, when we obeyed the gospel, were at that time contemplating all these storms that were going to come our way. We thought that we were going to have smooth sailing. We've got it made now. Our sins are forgiven us. We're in covenant relationship with God, and we're going to have smooth sailing. But then, pretty soon, along come the storms, and they interfere with us on our journey. And we learn pretty quick that temptations come our way and disappointments come our way. People abuse us and mistreat us. And we may even be faced with some very hard burdens along the way, both material and spiritual. But that deep trust and that confidence in the Lord that He cares for us is what helps us to weather the storms, no matter how intense they become. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7, Peter reminds us, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time." Now listen to this. "Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you." That's a lesson we need to always remember. Casting our care upon Him, for He cares for you. Then in the 107th Psalm, in verse 23, the psalmist says, "Those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business in great waters, they see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. For He commands and raises the stormy wind, which lifts up the waves of the sea. They mount up to the heavens. They go down again to the depths. Their soul melts because of trouble." I want to tell you a little story. I think I have time. I went out on a 17-foot boat, glass bottom boat, or glass boat, I should say, fiberglass, on the ocean to go catch some salmon with my brother-in-law. Bad mistake. The day that we set out, it was beautiful. It was clear. I mean, visibility was just infinite. And it was just a beautiful day. And then we got out there and got to fishing. And all of a sudden, fog started rolling in. And then the sea started getting upset. And if you've never seen the bottom of a wave from a 17-foot boat, let me tell you what, that wakes you up pretty quick. Now, my brother-in-law was busy chumming the fish, and I was busy holding on for dear life. And his cousin was trying to find the way back to shore. So I know a little bit about this. And that's what this is talking about here. And by the way, obviously we got back. Anyway, but they mount up to the heavens and go down into the depths. And their soul melts because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunk man, and are at their wits' end. Then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and He brings them out of their distress. He calms the storm. Now notice this. This is David speaking prophetically now. He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Then they are glad because they are quiet. So he guides them to their desired haven. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. All of the malice and envy that the world has to throw our way can never, ever harm the child of God. In the 91st Psalm and verses 1 and 2, he who dwells in secret places in the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. And going on down in Psalm 91 to verses 14 through 16, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. See this reassurance coming from God? And then, moving to the New Testament, in Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 31. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Think about that. He didn't spare his own son, but delivered him up for us. How shall he not with him freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now think about this as the ship tosses to and fro. Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, things present or things to come, heights, nor depths, or any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. When we get on the ship, if we'll stay there, that's the assurance we have. Now you notice, the one thing that's not listed on here that can separate us from the love of God is ourselves. We have to get on the ship and stay there. Stay in the ship. In God's wisdom to serve and improve us, we notice in James chapter 1, beginning of verse 2, my brethren, I count it all joy when you fall into various temptations, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but that patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. You have no need to fear when you're in the safety of the ship. No need. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28, Jesus said, do not fear those who can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. Now, what's the problem, though, that these brethren have, or these disciples had on the ship? He's asleep on the pillow. Doesn't he realize what's going on up here on the deck? I mean, what are we going to do? And he just lays down there and he sleeps. You know, in weakness, we often, as the disciples cry in terror, we think, what's going to happen? Lord, save me, save me. But you know what? The disciples learned a lesson from the Lord. He woke up and he spoke to them and said, what's wrong with your faith? In the absence of immediate intervention by God, though, many times we feel that the Lord doesn't care. You know, Jesus was right there. And he woke up and spoke to him and he said, peace, be still, and it was done. But now when we're on the ship and we're trying to sail the seas, we feel that, where is he? He doesn't care. But we can have confidence that his promises will all be fulfilled. And they don't have to be fulfilled in a miraculous way. We can understand this. It's not ours to worry how he does it, but ours to believe and know that he does. And with that confidence, we can sail on. In Psalm, I'll get down to it, Psalm 27 and verse 14. Listen to this carefully now. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now, the word wait here means to expect or look patiently for, to hope strongly, to trust. And in this word is the implication of constancy of mind. We know God will deliver. When? It's up to God. That's in his ballpark over here. We just have the problem of being sure we know it. And we can be confident of it. Every Christian needs to learn this confidence. In Philippians 4, beginning with verse 6, notice, be anxious for nothing. What? Wait on the Lord. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Wait on the Lord. Now, if we don't wait on the Lord, what category are we in? Well, we're in the category of the folks who had weak faith. Weak faith. And having weak faith will cause us to lose the blessings that can only come from the hand of God. Look at verse 7 in Philippians 4. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. How about that? In our lesson, he arose and he rebuked the wind, and there was what? A great calm. Peace, be still. Peace, be still. God's peace means peace with God. Did you ever think about that? That's what God's peace is. Peace with God. Filling our soul time with, there we are, filling our soul time and time again after the tempestuous experiences of this life, each time God makes us stronger, stronger. He makes us more able and eager to not only serve him, but to thank him for the tempest. Thank him for the trials. And know that all of these have produced the kind of patience that we need and the kind of faith that will bring us the greatest calm that we can possibly enjoy. Peace. Peace. Be still. Are you realizing this peace now? It's possible that you may be one of those that hasn't even gotten on the boat yet. And indeed, you have to be on the boat. Being where Jesus was when the storm was calmed was important. Be where the Master is. Well, what about the storms of this life? We want to be on the boat. To do that, we have to do what Jesus said. We read it today, Matthew. Make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that's what we can do for you now, to help you to enter the boat.